This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
You must be excited, yeah, finally having the chance to show it off, have it seen.
Yeah, it's great. So excited to be premiering the film at MIFF. My producer Joe and I were at MIFF 5 years ago with a short film, and yeah, it's a great festival.
All right, I'll just do the intro. This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream, Undead, and it's Killing Ground. It's Damien Power talking to us in Sydney, talking about Killing Ground, which is getting its screening for the first time at the Melbourne International Film Festival, of course, the 4th of August at 9 p.m. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, cool. How long has it taken for it to get to this point?
It was 11 years ago I had the first kind of germ of an idea for the story. I was working with my producer, Joe Weatherston, on another project. Wasn't really going anywhere, and I remember telling Joe and said, I've got this great idea for a film that we could make quickly and cheaply. And here we are 11 years later.
Wow. So much for the quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you tell us just briefly, obviously without any spoilers, or too many?
Yeah.
Killing Ground is all about...
Yeah, so it's a survival thriller. It's about a young couple that goes camping to a sort of remote spot in the bush. And when they arrive, they find a car and a tent, but no sign of the occupants. And so they decide to stay because they've travelled a long way and it's a beautiful spot. But they grow increasingly uneasy when the occupants of the tent sort of fail to turn up. And then the next day, they discover a boy sort of lost in the woods, and it kind of all goes to hell from there.
Yes. I mean, it's been inspired, you say, by things like, well, in the blurb that's here on the MIFF site, Funny Games, Michael Haneke's Funny Games, and Sam Peckinpah's Straw Dogs. Probably got a little bit of a few other, I guess, those sort of stories where a couple go to find out more about nature or, you know, have a holiday.
Yeah.
And ends up being, you know... quite the opposite of a fun time. Eden Lake's
right.
Another one I was thinking. Eden Lake.
Definitely Eden Lake. I think I really like those films that, you know, put the central couple or, you know, the protagonists, it's often a couple actually, you know, under increasing pressure, you know, more and more and more, and then they sort of put them through the ringer and you see kind of what's left at the end of it. Eden Lake was one of those films. I guess The Vanishing in its own way is one of those films.
Yeah.
And there's a French thriller called Red Lights as well, which I really like and has a similar kind of story arc.
Wow, good. I mean, and that sort of formula works really well in your film, but you do have something a bit different too, I guess, the time sequence, the time factor.
Yeah, I think, you know... this genre is usually relentlessly linear, and I wanted to do something different with that. So, I mean, the image of the tent in the woods was kind of the original inspiration, and then I started thinking about, well, what happened to those people in the tent? And that was kind of really the germ of the idea. So the idea started with what happened to the people in the tent, and then it became a story about, okay, well, if they're gone and someone finds it, who are those people? And so it kind of naturally grew out of my thinking about the story, that I wanted to tell not only the story of the protagonists who find the empty tent, but also the story of the people whose tent it was, and also the story of the antagonists. And so, yeah, the film starts with multiple timelines, which wind tighter and tighter and tighter until they come together. So, yeah, it's definitely a different structure for this genre.
Yeah, no, that makes it quite enjoyable. Well, if enjoyable is the word for it, but more intriguing, I suppose, as far as it goes with the story, The Orange Tent. It's taken 11 years to bring this about.
Yeah, it has. Obviously, I haven't been working on it full time for 11 years.
You've been doing it.
But no, look, it took a while for me to kind of tease that story out. And then I think about 5 years ago, we got it to a point where we thought that the script was ready to go. But I hadn't directed anything in that genre or quite like it. And so we felt the need to, let's make a short film that can be a bit of a calling card for this. And so we made a film called Peekaboo, which was the short that played at MIFF. And that's a short thriller about a woman who loses her child in a car park and thinks the kid's been abducted. And look, that film worked out really well. It played at MIFF. It played at a lot of festivals. It kind of got us noticed, and it did the right things in terms of showing, I guess, that, you know, I can direct some suspense and action, and really did work as the kind of calling card that we hoped that it would. And sort of since then, I've directed a few more shorts, and all sort of with the idea that, you know, I'd be gearing up to direct something longer. And of course, you know, once we were kind of at that point, people were interested, but it just takes such a long time to, you know, put that financing jigsaw together.
It's really interesting, the characters you've got there too, and some of the actors involved, including the wonderful Aaron Peterson, and you've got another Aaron, the name. Is that deliberate? Like, we've got two Aarons? And
yeah, the two Aarons, the Aaron squad. No, they were fantastic. We were lucky that we were financed without having any actors on board, so really I kind of had the freedom to just choose the best actors for the roles. I feel really blessed with the cast that I have. I think they're amazing, and they really all kind of bring their A game to these roles.
Yeah, I mean, they're vile characters, but there's a lot of sense of a lot of unspoken stuff that's going on that we don't really know, but you know it's pretty dreadful, whatever it is. And you get that sense with the Aaron Peterson's character. Is it German? Is that how?
Yeah.
And the sense that something's happened there. He alludes to a massacre that's happened in the environment where the film is set. Those sorts of things. Makes it very Australian, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, the film, yes, it's a violent film, but it's also a film about violence. And I tried to treat that really carefully on screen and how it's depicted. But also, you're right, it does kind of allude to, I guess, our history of violence. Yeah, and that was important for me as well.
Sort of, does have that sense of it. And then, of course, it has all the tropes as well, but you've used it in quite a humorous sort of way as well.
I think that was one of the things that I liked doing about this story, was taking those kind of familiar genre beats and just kind of, I guess, passing it through a filter of reality. Putting myself in the shoes of those characters, you know, what would really happen if I was threatened or my family was threatened? You know, how would I actually react? And I think, movies teach us that we can be heroes in those circumstances, and, you know, maybe that's not always the case.
So after, you've got two sessions, I believe.
That's right.
Looking on the page now, MIFF, for some reason, the 6th of August is selling really fast.
Yeah. You know, we've sold out our 11:30 session.
Wow.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. I remember actually last time I was at MIFF, I love the night shift films. Some of my favorite directors, have had films in that section.
Yeah.
And the last time I was at MIFF, I think I caught Ben Wheatley's Kill List at an 11:30 session. It was such a great, fun experience because, you know that everybody that's rocking up to see a film at 11:30 at night is committed and into it.
Exactly. How crazy.
I'm really excited for both screenings.
Yeah, cool. And we've got the wonderful Zach Hepburn from the Astor Theatre doing the Q&A with you tonight. Is that right? So you're going to be flying soon.
I'm packing my bags
to
jump on a plane, and we'll have most of the cast there as well.
Oh, that's excellent.
Tonight, which is great.
That's is that quite unusual? Considering,
I think so. I think we had a screening for cast and crew, and my editor Katie, she said, "Don't worry about it; it's going to be fine. You know, they're the best audience you'll ever have." But I was concerned because everyone on it has an opinion; they already know what it's about, and they have expectations. But look, that screening went really well, and those guys loved it, and that meant a lot to me. So it'll be great to catch up with them all again tonight.
And also, it's on one of the what they call the one of the extreme screens. I'm not sure if you knew that. It's what those
big
square ones that are really close to your face, basically.
Okay.
It's like, ooh, that's great.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. It's I mean, I think that, you know, it's hard to get people along, you know, to the cinemas to see low budget films.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, particularly in this kind of age of sort of superhero blockbusters, I think you've really got to offer people an experience.
Yes.
And I hope that that's what this film is. You know, I hope that, you know,
it's a big enough screen for an experience.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, we had a audience test where people were applauding in spots. And I was
applauding.
Like, wow,
I'm not
okay.
sure about that.
you know, I can't tell you what they are.
Morally.
Spoilers, but yeah, you would get it. So, yeah, you know, I think that you've got to deliver that sort of experience, and that's why I'm so excited that people are, you know, coming to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, and then, of course, on the 6th, which is Saturday, it's the 11:30 p.m., and you have, well, that's at the ACMI. It's a good cinema, too. Sorry,
yeah.
ACMI, it's still good cinema. And that's with Kayla Jeunesse, who's introducing that session, and she's just fabulous. That woman just rocks. I mean, I've interviewed her half a dozen times now, and I'm just like, I just don't feel worthy around her. So, watch out. She knows everything about horror.
I've seen her book. I know.
The House of Psychotic
everything.
Woman.
Yeah.
So she's awesome. It should be a couple of very good experiences as well as the film. And I suggest people definitely, well, you may have to be hovering around for that one on the 6th because, like you said, it looks like it's sold out. But sometimes they have a standby thing. So if you're lucky, you might get the chance to sneak in, I don't know. See if you can do that, people. But at least there's still tickets, I believe, for tonight, the 4th of August.
Yeah, still tickets for tonight, so if anyone comes along, please say hello.
Yes. Easy to do as well. Just go to miff.com.au and you can /program/film/killingground to find out more and how to book for that one. It's part of the night shift programs, and it's great. There's a whole bunch of wonderful films there this year. I watched Baskin, and it's hard to go back. It's hard to go back after that one. I was like, where is this taking me? Where am I going? I'm going to have nightmares.
Yeah. I was in town for the opening and saw Under the Shadow, which I really enjoyed.
Wonderful. Babak Ghanvari. Great stuff coming out of Iran. Great stuff.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Have you seen A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night?
No, I haven't. I have it recorded, but I haven't quite got there yet.
Get around to it. You might have some time next. But what is happening next to the film? Any more festivals coming up, I guess?
We've got an international premiere that I can't quite announce yet, but it's pretty exciting. Mm. We'll continue. It'll have a bit of a festival run, and then it'll have a theatrical run here.
Oh, great.
Early next year.
Okay. Oh, cool. Mm. That's still pretty unusual for the genre film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, though.
So, it's really exciting. I mean, Mushroom, who are our local distributors, have been really supportive and wonderful, so I feel very lucky to have them on board.
Yes, I was surprised to see them up there. That's very good. The other thing is, what happens to you? Are you going to be doing another genre type of film next, or?
Writing a couple of projects, and one of those is an adaptation of an old play, which will kind of end up being a psychological thriller about jealousy. So hopefully as tense, but maybe a little bit less violent.
Excellent. Look, thank you very much for speaking to us, Damien Power, about Killing Ground. This is your first feature-length film, yeah? Am I right?
Yes.
Oh,
good. Yeah.
I got that bit right. And it's the world premiere tonight, 4th of August, at MIFF, the Melbourne International Film Fest, which is fantastic.
It's Damien Power. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Perfect. I think that's the easiest one I've ever heard. Get it right.
Well, you see, I used to do community radio in Washington.
Oh, cool. All right.
Ago, so I put on my best community radio voice.
which station in Tassie?
So it was 7LT NFM in Launceston, Tasmania.
Oh, right.
So I'm from Tassie originally.
Oh, of course. Right. Where a lot of horror does come from.
So it seems.
Yes, yeah. Will you make one down there, do you think, or make anything?
Look, I would love to make a film in Tassie. Absolutely love to. So, hope so.
Well, if you do make one that has a lot of female protagonists in it or something, there's a Stranger With My Face film festival.
Yeah, I know, Bryony.
Yes.
So, there's already a kind of supportive community down there, which is great.
It's good. It's good. All right. Thank you very much, and good luck for tonight. Have a safe flight, and have a great opening at MIF.
I will. Thank you so much for the chat.
Thanks, Damien. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi-and-scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.